The second scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And the third one, 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read right now because I have a plan to read later. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. About 6 or 6.5 years ago, before I moved to Daytona Beach, where I'm living now, for my job, I had an opportunity to visit this area, New Smyrna Beach, for a short vacation. A very gracious lady who had a condo for her family vacations and for investment gave our family vacation gift to stay at her condo for 2 nights. Very nice condo. Her condo was in one of those high-rise buildings right in front of the beach. And the condo is about, I would say, 2 miles down south from where the public shopping area is. And her sliding glass door in her living room was really beach front. Soon as opened the glass door, voila, there's an ocean. Yes. And I wanted to catch the sunrise, and I was lucky one of those 2 days. The first day was perfect and clear to see the sun rising. And I got up early in the morning, sat in front of the sliding glass door, and waited in the dark for the sun. It's rising. And I waited and waited, and then I began to see a glimpse of a light that orangish and, you know, pinkish and reddish light comes up. So I just fixed my eyes and see I'm not going to miss it without even blinking it. And surely enough, that big sun, very red, perfectly round one, coming up, 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 and then here in front of my face. Oh, my God, I want to just catch it and hold it and put it right there. Don't go away. But no, it moved away so fast. It's got farther and farther away, and it got smaller and smaller, smaller, and gone. It was my first and only excited experience of catching the sun rising moment that I would never forget. The beauty and the mystery of God's creation. The second day was a Sunday, and I wanted to attend the PCUSA church. Obviously, guess what? It was this church. Of course, I didn't know any of you then, not even Bab Richardson. I didn't know any of you. I looked up churches on my computer briefly, and I got a good idea where the church was. And I didn't have a GPS with me. And back then, my phone was that small, tiny BlackBerry with a tiny window. And I didn't have any apps. And I also remembered that I saw the so many Peace USA, that sign, signs on the street when I was coming to the condo from Orlando. So I knew there were signs everywhere. So I decided that I'm going to follow the sign. Since I have some good idea, I think I will find the church. I was very confident. By the way, today I was coming down from Daytona Beach and from I-95 South End and come to the Highway 44. All those signs was gone. I just paid attention and realized all those signs were gone. Anyway. So it was a good plan, and then it was good for the first 2-3 miles until I got on the first bridge. And as I was coming down, I was looking for another very significant sign will tell me where to turn. But I couldn't find the sign, and I had to move on. So I got on to the second bridge. As you know, I passed. And I knew I passed. And then I got lost. I went on Highway 44 too far. So I finally and slowly turned around and then find this church. Yes, preaching already started, but I came in to worship anyway, and I sat very back on this side, that very back pew, the very back row. Why? Because I wanted to get out as soon as I said amen after benediction, and then I wanted to hurriedly back to where my family was. That was my plan. So I was sitting there, and I'm not encouraging any of you to do that, okay? Don't do that. Sure enough, as soon as I said amen after benediction, I got out quickly. Then there's a gentleman. I don't remember how he looked like. About six and a half years ago. You might sitting here, okay? This gentleman approached to me and said, "Well, thank you for coming. You are so welcome to come back. We would love to see you again," he said. I said, "Thank you," and then I just went on. Guess what? Here I am. And then thank you for your invitation. Are you sitting here? Maybe not. I don't have any idea how he looked like. But he was a very kind and attentive spirit. And it is a very important part of the church ministry to pay attention who are coming in, who are leaving, without missing, to greeting and then showing very warm welcoming. And he did a very good job on that. Signs are extremely important for our daily life and always. I cannot even imagine our safety without traffic signs. Just think about it. Most of us had an experience at least once that we were stopped at the four cross street corner when the traffic light went off. No signs. And those four drivers at the four different corners just to look at each other. Now, who's going to go first and who's the next, right? We had that experience. And then we do the body languages, and then we give some kind of a sign of a suggestion that I am the one, I'm going to go next. And then slowly release the braking pedal and then go a little bit, and look at him, look at her, and then look at him, and then give a sign, I'm going this way, I'm going this way. Don't hit me, it's my turn. And then we go. Without signs, we would not know which places are where and how to get there and where we are going. One time I saw a street sign, rear sign, no name lane. The street sign had a no name lane. Can you imagine somebody asked me, where are you going? No name lane. It's very funny. The signs help us to have good ideas about what those places are. There are many so obvious Bank of America. Obvious, it is a bank, right? And farmers market. It's very obvious. And Dunkin' Donut or so-and-so yogurt. It's very obvious. And did some of us have the experiences to find the familiar signs? Like that big M, gold, yellow sign of a McDonald's, and a red sign of a Bank of America in foreign land, especially when you don't understand their language. I have, and it was so comforting. The sign gave me so comforting and homey and safe feelings. Signs are important and suggest a lot. It makes us laugh and think and learn at times. So I want to share, this is middle of January, so we still have this good spirit of laughing and celebrate for something. So I collected several signs from internet, the real signs that people put out, and some people actually took the picture and posted in the internet. So I got some signs so for us to laugh and think about it. This is the sign that was put on in public ladies' restroom area on the wall where the big plastic board on the wall and the mothers pull down and change their baby's diaper and then put back onto the wall. Especially ladies, probably you know which one I'm talking about. There was a sign, it says, please remove your kid before you close this lid. Must be an accident, right? And there's a sign on the swimming pool area on the gate. It says, do not breathe under the water. And there's a sign, the fence with the wire, and it says, touching wires cause instant death. Fine, $200. Go figure. Attention, this fence is coated with non-drying paint. It's your fault. And another sign said, please be safe. Do not stand, sit, climb, or lean on the fences. Just don't get near. And this is a sign at a zoo. It says, do not feed the elephants. It creates management problem. I'm pretty sure. And another sign said, if you fall, animals could eat you, and that might make them sick. Thank you. And one YMCA put their sign, toilet paper does not grow on trees. Please donate. Very straightforward. And this is the sign that the earlier worship, they didn't laugh, but this sign always make me laugh. This is just on the yellow, this signboard, and has a picture, one person on the bicycle, on the slopping line, okay? There was a picture on the signboard, and the sign said, caution, slip downhill, control your pee. It was a real sign. This is a sign at somebody's home. It says, never mind the dog, beware the owner. And these are two signs on top and bottom, and top signs at a parking lot. It says, a parking lot under police surveillance, and the bottom one said, do not leave valuables in vehicle. Now you got the sense, right? If it was two separate signs and two different places, it totally makes sense. But they put right on top and right on bottom. And if we read together, parking lot under police surveillance, do not leave valuables in vehicle. It was so funny. And I'm going to share with you a few church signs. And this church, Methodist church, must be in, up in north somewhere, very cold in winter. McDonaldsville, St. Paul Methodist Church put their sign out, Whoever is praying for snow, please stop. And Benton Heights Presbyterian Church in Atapis, USA, signed, "Have trouble sleeping? We have sermons. Come here." And then First United Methodist Church signed, "Too cold to change the sign. Message inside." So don't bother to come in. And then this is hilarious. Cape Coral Church said, "Now is a good time to visit. Our pastor is on vacation." So funny, right? And Clifton Baptist Church put out a sign, "Church parking only. Violators will be baptized. You should repent." And this is another sign. Lancaster Baptist Church is signed. It kind of made me think a little bit. And we can interpret it in a few different ways. They signed, "Be thankful you are still above ground." Think about it. This is from Baptist Church. It tells us a lot. Now, these signs are visible, readable, laughable, thinkable, and there are some signs that are not clearly readable in letters but important. How about our facial expressions and body languages without any single word? Those can be extremely necessary, especially in our relationship, right? The couples, you are sitting together, and then your spouse's body language is very important. And body language is important in many different relationships as well. There are also signs of events that change people's lives, visible to some and invisible to the others. Many people, including scholars and seminarians, use the Strong's Concordance a lot for their word studies, biblical word studies. And it says, the Greek word semeion in New Testament means a sign, typically miraculous sign, given especially to confirm, corroborate, or authenticate. Semeion then emphasizes the end purpose which exerts the one giving it. Accordingly, it is used for what authenticates the Lord and his eternal purpose, especially by doing what mere man cannot replicate or take credit for. Very well defined about Simeon, the sign. John the Baptist had the special connection with God ever since he was conceived. He knew Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But he needed to see the sign of the Holy Spirit's anointing for Jesus, and he wanted people to know who Jesus was. That was why he was baptizing people at the Jordan River. He said, "I read and you heard," in verse 31. You see, I don't know how many times I read the Gospel of John, but I really didn't pay much attention to what John said, why he was baptizing people until this time. He wanted to see the sign for his confirmation and hoped others to see too for their faith in Jesus, the Son of God, Lamb of God. And the sign he saw changed his life, and his proclamation got ever stronger than before. "I have seen, look, he is the Lamb of God. He is the one." Well, we know that later John's confidence got a little weaker once after he was put in the jail, and he asked, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" We remember that. But we also know that John was bravely beheaded for his faith, without doubt. His faith he died for. The divine sign of anointing he saw was clear, unforgettable, and unshakable. Apostle Paul, too, had his own dramatic experience of anointing, the bright light and power that knocked him down from his horse, and the voice he heard. The people who were with him saw his fall from the horse, but could not understand the voice. It's because he was calling for Paul only, not anybody else. Paul was the only one who knew his anointing of Lord's calling. This experience changed Paul's life. It was the complete 180 degree of a turning point. He became not only a believer, but also he was totally sure that he was the chosen apostle of Christ. And he boldly said, "I, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God." After that, we all know how Paul lived his devoted life for Christ. People began to see, hear, understand, and know his transformation and transforming. We all are very familiar with two big words of justification and sanctification. We grew up as hearing those words. I have no intention to analyze or give a lecture on those theological terms, but simply state it as the way Bible did. Justification by faith. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Credited as a righteousness by God, accepted as a righteous child of God by God. Not by doing something significant, but by having the faith in God. Just like that. How could that happen? How could I or did I have this faith in God? Have you thought about that? Do we need a more logical explanation? It is too simple to understand. Some people struggle with accepting and understanding this truth because it sounds too simple for too big of a deal, life-changing deal. But I tell you what, it is so simple because it is the divine act of anointing. It is from God and by God. It's what God did. And we all know nothing can be complicated to God. When we just know that we have faith in God from our heart, truthfully, and we know it is by God's grace, we need to understand it is the sign of anointing. We don't have to have dough. We don't have to fall from the horse. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in many different ways. Not my work, not anybody's work. No one saw a dough or light above my head when I was baptized. And I'm going to tell you, I was baptized twice. And then I also want to make sure that we need only one baptism once, okay? But I got twice. I didn't have infant baptism. My first baptism was when I was a very young teenage. It was a sprinkle. Presbyterian Church. And then so many years later, after I became a grown-up, I got another baptism. This time, I was fully immersed under the water. Then I came out. And being honest with you, at that time, I was so hoping I may hear angel's voice. Praise the Lord, something like that. Did not happen. No light, not even little tiny baby doves, just one. Did not happen. But I knew I was a Christian. Probably you didn't have either. And nowadays, so many people go to Israel and all the Christians, making sure to stop at the Jordan River. I did too. At least touch the water of the Jordan River. And people get baptized again in the Jordan River. But I never heard that anybody had dough and light over their head. It was for the Jesus. And I am almost sure that none of us had the same kind of experience with the Apostle Paul, but even we don't have that, we are certain that we have a faith in Jesus, the strong and deep faith. When I was a seminarian, we had an opportunity to talk about our conversion experiences in the class. One class. Some people share their significant experience of their moment they never forget. Some said, I knew for sure it was the voice from Holy Spirit was telling me. And then some said, there's a moment I was hearing word of God, my heart began to melting down. And began to realize how sinful I was and how precious Jesus' death means to me. And I knew I was forgiven and salvation was mine and I belonged to God. And I could not stop crying, but it was a good thing that I will never forget. And then some people testimonied that I know Jesus was beside me and holding me and told me I belong to him, etc. But quite many people also said, I didn't have that kind of a memorable moment, but I knew I had the faith. I was born in a Christian family, heard a lot about gospel and talked about Bible all the time. My grandfather was a preacher. My father was an elder. I grew up that kind of environment. I just knew I was and I am a Christian. And some people even said, I don't even remember my baptism because I was an infant. That's true. Whatever our experiences and testimonies might be, one thing we know for sure is that we receive the faith from God as the sign of anointing, without dove, without light, without thundering sound. What happened to us after that? We began to understand more and better about the grace and love and have a desire to know more about Jesus and his love. And we want to be like him more and to live in his way as we grow. And we try, we pray, we try, we pray. Continuous journey for our sanctification and transformation. Friends, the reason why I made the prelude so long talking about signs and sunrisings and Jesus' anointing and Apostle Paul's calling is that I want to say to you formally that you all are surely anointed one. I affirm this to you because I saw, heard, was touched, and tasted the godly and good deeds and hearts of yours that confirm the signs of your special anointing and the growth of transformation. As I mentioned earlier, the man who gave me the warm and kind and open-minded invitation years ago when I was hastily leaving the church, the worship committees and staffs, the sincere and humble hearts they put towards the preparation during and after the worship, just putting the lid of the candle, it's so important because it symbolizes Christ's light. And they pay all the details for our worship because of their hearts. And in choirs and praise teams and congregation, I know, I heard, I've seen that you sing Heart Out. Now from now on, you're going to sing Heart Out, okay? And prayer warriors, yes, prayer warriors. Who knows the power of prayers? Who cares so much for others as themselves? And those people faithfully devoted for the sound system. Steve, today is his additional birthday because I'm praising him twice. Sound system and PowerPoint presentations. Bible study groups, all of you. Seeking for the true meaning of a word for the sake of a kingdom. And children and youth ministry. It's not ordeal. It's not anybody can do it. People have the heart for our youth, our children, and care for their souls and their lives. Various ministries of sessions and deacons and committees and groups and individuals. Some are known and some are private except to God. And I know that I don't even know more than two-thirds at least of what you all do. You do personally and then as a few groups, you do so much. And only God truly knows your hearts and your deeds. And I also know other churches and organizations too have those kinds of groups and programs, and I have visited many other churches, PCUSAs and other denomination churches, and I still do at times. Despite that, I want to say that you are special and genuine. My spirit tells me that. It was not a very long time or so many times that I have worshipped with you, talked with you, ate with you, and sang with you. I didn't dance with you yet, but by your kind and caring spirit and generosity and meekness and many more spiritual and mindful presence comforted me very much. And it was such a blessing for me. I wanted to share this with you for some time. And I'm so glad that I had this opportunity. Not only for me, but what you are doing for each other and to others. And of course, you will keep doing that. You all are richly blessed and gifted people of God. And the faithful Lord will continuously bless you and your spiritual gifts so that your testimonial life will bring joy and blessings to others and glory to God. I purposely saved the scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18, so I can read it now. It begins with good instructions for the Christian's life that leads to God's blessing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18. It says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disrupted. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." God's will for you and me for our blessings. This is the middle of January, so I'm going to talk about New Year's Day celebration in different countries, just briefly. To South Koreans, most of you know that I came from South Korea. To South Koreans, the New Year's Day celebration is the biggest one in a year. At least used to be was when I was growing up. People wear country's traditional outfit, nothing like the clothes that you saw on the TV show MASH. The old TV show, there was a Korean people on and off. Not that kind of outfit. No, we don't wear outfit like that, but it was okay. It was cute. It was a TV show. Anyway, and the little children bow, the traditional bow, that bow down starts like this and then to the ground. To the older people, whoever is old, the older sibling, mom and dad and grandparents and uncles and aunts, and children bow to them and bless them, saying, blessings for you, happiness, best health, and prosperity. Then those people who receive the bow will bless them back and give children the money. That's why children love to do that. And it was a day that children make pretty good money. And I want to say this to you. If we remember that we are the Lord's anointed ones and hold on to the strong trust in Him, we are able to rejoice always in good times and in difficult times, which means we own our own happiness. I am not ignoring our emotions, which are necessary to express ourselves. Sometimes we get sad and disappointed and frustrated, even angry at times. But I am focusing on our true inner beings, where spirit is. And we stand firm on the ground of grace and listen to the Lord's love for us. We know, deep down, we are happy. We are blessed ones. A few days ago, I had a chance to visit an elderly lady, very close to 100 years of age, very tiny, and very sick, and was dealing with her physical pain. Her voice was weak, but her testimony was crystal clear. She told me, I have pain time to time, and I accept the pain and the suffering because this is an important part, because I know my Lord is with me. He suffers with me. I have my Lord who is with me, so I am happy. I am happy because my Lord is with me. How clear testimony it is. She owned her own happiness in the midst of her suffering. When we keep prayerful hearts and minds continually, it brings us inner peace and hope for our well-being. And most of us experience that. How much prayer brought us hope and peace. And we find the reasons and things to be thankful in all things and always in every day. We are filled with love of the Lord. Then we are already rich in most meaningful and spiritual way. That's why the Psalm 23rd said, my shepherd, he is the only one I need. So this year, 2017. Let us be blessed fully, more than before. And let's give testimony to others that God is our blessing and He blesses us all the time. Listen His words one more time. Rejoice always. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances. Amen. Let's stand up once more and let's sing together, Heart Out. We're going to sing Heart Out, okay? Number 389, Spirit of the Living God, my favorite one. Thank you.